From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news for this day in Maine, Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. And on this day, carers for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Maine say they are in dire financial straits, and how some Maine craft brewers are handling demand for their latest products. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
The Dixfield Police Department was shut down yesterday after its chief and patrol officer were placed on administrative leave. Fred Bever has details.
As recently as July, the police department in the town of about 2,500 people had five employees, Chief Jeffrey Howe and four officers. But by fall, a combination of lost grant funding and attrition had reduced it to just the chief and one patrol officer, Ann Simmons Edmonds. That's according to town manager Carlo Puya. And then one of those was put on administrative leave.
We have a personnel issue that we have to deal with, and it's confidential by law, so that's about all I can tell you.
Puya says the other officer not subject to a personnel action was also placed on paid leave because it's not prudent to staff a police department with just a single officer.
We can't operate the department with just one person. It's unsafe. I mean, it's you couldn't just have one person and cover your town 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The town's board of selectmen will take up the personnel issue in the near future, Puya says. In the meantime, public safety services will be dispatched from the Oxford County Sheriff's Department. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Agencies that work with adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Maine say they are on the verge of a crisis. Declining state reimbursement rates have caused staffing shortages, which threatens the viability of services. But the commissioner of Maine's Department of Health and Human Services says supporting people with disabilities is a priority for the state, which has boosted funding over the past 5 years. Patty White has details.
From the moment Alexis Howard arrives for work at Oliver House in Farmington, she's on the go.
Good morning!
Oliver House is home to four adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. When Howard starts her shift at 6 a.m., she helps plan out the schedule of activities and appointments for the day. Then she preps breakfast, washes a load of laundry, and starts to get residents up.
All right, Kev.
Most of the residents here are nonverbal, and all of them need help with everyday tasks, including bathing, meal prep, even getting out of bed. Howard and another staff member hook a resident named Kevin into a lift to hoist him upright.
We're gonna go up, okay?
Once he's up, Kevin uses a walker to go to the kitchen where Howard serves up breakfast. Then she goes to get up another resident. The job is demanding, but she says she loves it.
I love it because you're helping people live the life that they want. And, you know, you can tell you're doing a good job by the, you know, their reaction they give you.
Howard is one of the core full-time staffers that both the residents and her employer count on daily, particularly in the past year when she was called upon to work extra hours after four other staffers left. And it's getting increasingly difficult to attract people to this work.
I see a staffing crisis.
Daryl Wood is the executive director of LEAP, a nonprofit that provides in-home supports for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. He says the staffing crisis stems from nearly a decade of declining state reimbursement rates. In 2007, the rate was about $25 an hour. Since then, payments have dropped to under $23 an hour. When adjusted for inflation, Wood says that's about a 30% decrease. And as those payments have gone down, his staff turnover has gone up.
I think about 10 years ago, our turnover was 20%. And then it's, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, it was 30%.
Last year, he says, it jumped to 36%.
Our agencies across the state are experiencing incredible turnover rates.
Todd Goodwin is board president of the Maine Association for Community Service Providers. He says the problem is that most providers can only afford to offer a starting pay of about $9 an hour.
We are limited with what we can pay our staff persons for the work that they do based upon these rate models. So we are finding it increasingly difficult to attract and retain staff persons to do this incredibly important work.
And a proposed rule would change how reimbursements are calculated and reduce payments by as much as 7%. That worries providers and many parents as well.
I worry that the services will either be lost or that they will change significantly.
Ellie Dooley of Farmington has an adult nonverbal son with autism who lives at one of the LEAP houses. She says when he graduated from high school 5 years ago, he was placed on a wait list to receive adult services.
Some people will talk about their children being off the cliff. They lose services. They don't have adult services. They lose their children's services.
Dooley says her son had been receiving 40 hours of support a week to build daily living skills, such as how to eat with utensils. With that support gone, she says her son became agitated and violent. It took a year of phone calls to get him into a group home where he's now thriving. But Dooley knows how quickly that can change.
Since 2011, it's this administration that has increased the funding to serve people with intellectual and developmental disabilities by over $100 million.
Maine's Department of Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew says that under the LePage administration, an additional 1,000 people are now being served. She declined to comment on the proposed rule that would change the reimbursement model, but she says the state must ensure it's paying an appropriate amount for care as opposed to administrative costs.
What we have to be looking at are ways in which to ensure that those dollars are going to support direct care.
Todd Goodwin of the Maine Association for Community Service Providers says his constituents operate according to regulations directed by the state. And he acknowledges that the state has invested more dollars into the system. But he says that's because more people are eligible for services. Currently, 1,200 people are on a wait list. And reducing that, he says, goes hand in hand with increasing reimbursement so there's enough staff to care for individuals.
Can I get a high five?
Back at Oliver House, Alexis Howard jokes around with Kevin. She says it took her more than a year to fully understand the nuances of how the residents at Oliver House communicate, what a certain noise or a certain look means. Those strong personal connections, she says, make it difficult for residents when staff leave.
If a staff leaves or, you know, anything, any change of schedule, they notice it, and it's very hard for us to get them back to a good baseline.
When the legislature convenes next month, lawmakers are expected to consider a bill that would increase reimbursements to about $29.50 an hour. Todd Goodwin says that $7 bump would go a long way toward attracting and retaining staff in an industry that relies on strong personal connections. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Many of us stood in long lines this holiday season to get our hands on stuff that's in short supply or just at a really good price. Outside Bissell Brothers in Portland, more than 300 people waited in a very cold and long line this season to get their hands around a very special can. Andrew Catalina reports.
Zach Hutton of Waterboro has been waiting for about 2 hours, in temperatures barely reaching 20 degrees, for the chance to buy cans of Swish.
It was a bit cold, but you bundle up and it's not too bad. It's for a passion. Craft beer is a passion.
Swish, a double India pale ale, is fruity and hazy, characteristic of what's emerging as a regional New England style. And with its increasing popularity comes high demand, creating tight supply as breweries expand and ramp up production to meet that demand. At Bissell Brothers, people start queuing at 6 a.m., and the doors don't open until 10. And for those willing to wait in line, at some releases as many as 600 or 700 people, there's no guarantee that they'll actually be able to leave with any.
The thing that we've done for the last few releases, which has been nice, is we now open a couple hours early and we do nothing but can sales until the cans are gone. So you have to arrive a little bit early and wait in a bit of a line, but once we open, everything moves within about an hour.
Kevin Broidrick works in Bissell's tap room. He says the company also sells merchandise and pours beer on tap, but creating cans-only hours has cut down the line wait substantially. And Broidrick says waiting in line hasn't proven to deter its customers.
The fact that, you know, people are coming out in numbers like this on a cold Saturday morning means that they're after something more than just literally a four-pack of cans and going home. It's about an experience and it's about a community. We're lucky to be a part of that.
Because of the limited supply and strong demand, craft breweries around Maine have tried to devise systems designed to distribute beer to their loyal customers in fair and orderly ways. For recent releases of its immensely popular double IPA called Dinner, Maine Beer Company in Freeport has moved away from a first-come, first-served line and created an online system of ticketed reservations. Spokesman Jesse Weil says the system includes a staggered window, and the company encourages customers to arrive no more than a half hour before their designated time.
We opened the doors for the first window, which was 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. We opened the doors at about 10 of 7, and we had probably 45 people in line at that point, all of whom had shown up after 6 o'clock in the morning, which was really positive, so that people weren't out overnight, freezing cold in the parking lot.
Weil says the longest anyone waited throughout the day was a little over an hour. And not every craft brewer in Maine is faced with maddening crowds at release events. Dustin Johnson of Nice Brewing Company in Limerick, about an hour's drive west of Portland, focuses mainly on German wheat beers brewed in a traditional, if slightly Americanized, style. Johnson says his relative lack of hops doesn't draw the crowds and lines associated with the New England IPA. In fact, he jokes about the brewery's first bottle release a few years ago.
The first time we did our first bottle release, there was quite a few people, you know, lined up at the door about 15 minutes before we opened, maybe 20 or 30. We had hundreds of bottles and we had 30 people in line, but it was cool to see.
But back in the long line at Bissell Brothers in Portland, customer Zach Hutton brushes off the intense cold in anticipation of even a few cans of Swish Double IPA.
You come in with a bunch of friends, get in line, hang out. The atmosphere alone kind of draws you in.
By the time the line died down a little bit before 11 o'clock, everyone who waited was able to get cans, and Bissell Brothers had cases to spare. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Andrew Catalina.
And that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. Thanks to Erwin Gratz, Keith Shortall, and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.